Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed, alleluia.
The joy and peace of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us sing. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In his Son, Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
For the Lord
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
Precious in your sight,
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. That was well in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father, the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you will ransom from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but it was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Word of God, Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now on that same day, Easter, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
In 2001, I went on a study tour to Israel and Palestine. It was a thrilling time for me to walk where Jesus walked, where Moses and Abraham and Sarah had walked. It was a wonderful month of study and tour. But the day that we were to go to Emmaus, there seemed to be a mix-up. When we arrived at the little van that we were riding in, our tour director, who was our Hebrew professor, and the bus driver were having quite an animated conversation. And although we had had, most of the people in the group had had a couple years of Hebrew, our professor never taught us the words that we were hearing from them. They were arguing back and forth, and finally the bus driver threw up his hands, took his place at the wheel, and just sat there. And then we started on our journey, and we asked Dr. Luker, "What was that all about?" And he said, "Well, the bus driver wanted to go to a different Emmaus." He said, "A different Emmaus?" Well, the truth is that the city that Luke talks about in the gospel story isn't on the map today. And there are at least four, maybe five, maybe seven different places that all claim this is the place. This is the place. Well, we just heard the story. It's late afternoon on Easter day. Cleopas and his companion, and I think the companion is his wife, Mary, who was mentioned in John's gospel, is standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. These two walkers are dejected. They're sad, they're confused. Their friend Jesus had died. They were walking along
talking about all of these things. They were heading to the spa. Emmaus means warm springs. So they're going off for a little rejuvenation of body and spirit. Great place, huh, to relax a little bit after all the activities and the anxiety of that. Maybe they had a vacation home there, going up to the mountains, going off to spend a few days to clear their minds. So these two are walking along, and they're about as down as you can get. They were talking and trying to make some sense about what had happened in the days past, and suddenly somebody's walking with them. They didn't know it was the resurrected Jesus. They didn't recognize him. What kept them from recognizing their good friend? One time I was in the grocery store, and as I pushed my cart around the store, I kept meeting this guy who greeted me very friendly tone every time we passed. And on the second, third, fourth pass, I think, I was trying to conjure a name every time he walked past me, every time he greeted me, I was trying to figure out, where do I know this guy? So about the fourth time, I said, should I know you? And he said, well, I guess if I had my uniform on and a mask across my face, you would know that I'm your dental hygienist. Out of context, out of uniform, I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was. Maybe that's why Mary and Cleopas didn't recognize Jesus. Out of context, they weren't expecting him, so they didn't recognize him. I wonder how often I've missed Jesus in my life. I wonder how many times I failed to recognize him because it wasn't what I expected. He was showing up where I didn't expect him to show up. He was looking like I didn't expect him to look. Did you see the news on Friday night? I was watching the local news, and there's a guy in San Diego that saw an image of the Virgin Mary in his marble wall. And the news people were there reporting on this image of holy image that he had seen. And the reporters continued their story as a follow-up with a number of other sightings. Some people have seen Jesus in an oil stain on their garage floor, one guy in the toast in his grilled cheese sandwich, and someone else in the wood swirls on their dining room table. Seems some people recognize Jesus everywhere, and others of us don't recognize him anywhere. Why is that? Why is that that some people can see Jesus and some people fail to see him? Well, maybe Jesus didn't want Cleopas and his companion to recognize him right away so that he would have this opportunity, this time to teach them, a time of conversation. What are you two in such deep conversation about? What are you talking about? You know, we teach our children not to talk to strangers, but Cleopas doesn't buy into that convention. He jumps right in and he tells this stranger everything. And he gets everything right. He has all the details. He doesn't leave out anything. Jesus' betrayal and suffering, his undeserved punishment, their unfulfilled hopes and dreams, and even the most unbelievable part about that empty tomb. And then he punctuates the whole thing. We had hoped that he was the one to save Israel. We had hoped. Those words ever come out of your mouth? In your walk along the road, do you ever find yourself saying, we had hoped? We had hoped that that DUI our child got was only a one-time thing. We had hoped that the suspicious-looking something was really nothing. We had hoped that we could have a peaceful family dinner just once. We had hoped that there would be a turnaround in our company. We had hoped that we could work things out. We had hoped. Sometimes we don't even finish the sentence. We had hoped, but now we don't hope anymore. We've lost hope. We're on our Emmaus road, a road of sad realities, a road that seems like there's no hope. But our God is so good. It's right there on that road, in our reality, in our lack of hope, when we're feeling most sad and dejected, that Jesus comes to us. Not in a flash of heavenly glory so that you need sunglasses, like Amanda said. Not in a vision of swirls on a marble wall. God surrounds us with his grace simply and surely. And it comes to us when we are experiencing the heartaches of life, when we're walking along our Emmaus road. We have our spiritual eyes open, and the redeeming grace of God is walking the road right with us. Cleopas and his companion were feeling hopeless, but their eyes were opened, their ears were opened to listening to Scripture, to hearing the stories of salvation, the teachings about the prophets and the Scriptures that told of a God who had a plan, a God who would turn everything upside down. Jesus walked with them, and their hearts began to be ablaze, to burn with hope. When they arrive at their home, they invite the stranger to come in. It was only polite. It was getting evening. A meal needed to be shared, a place to stay the night. He needed something to eat. And what a meal it was. The bread was taken, blessed, broken, given. And they recognized Jesus. Isn't this like a meal we'd shared before? Isn't this like a dinner we'd had with Jesus? Their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. He had been walking with them on the road. Jesus had been telling them the stories of the Scriptures. Jesus had been there on the road, at the table, in the bread of remembrance. And their words, "We had hoped," were changed. If only we had known. If only we had known it was Jesus with us on the road, we wouldn't have been so afraid. If only we had known, we would have trusted in the promise. If only we had known, we wouldn't have been so sad and so blind. So where are you on your Emmaus road? Do you sometimes feel like your world is collapsing, like you don't have the strength or the energy for one more thing? Have you ever experienced your dreams and your hopes shattered and hope gone? When you're walking that Emmaus road of pain or disappointment, of fear or hopelessness, it would be good to look around and see who's walking with you. We don't walk this road alone. When we remember our baptism, we remember that strong promise, child of God, you are marked with the cross of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. You are part of the body of Christ. You are the beloved who belongs. You're not alone. In remembering that we don't travel this road alone, that Jesus is walking with us on every step of our Emmaus road, every step of our life, we can go from saying, "I had hoped," to saying, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that God is with me, so I do not need to be afraid. God's strength is mine. God's strength is mine to claim. God's grace is for me." I'm glad that the modern day maps don't show exactly where Emmaus is, because I think we're looking for love in all the wrong places. It's not there that Jesus walks. It's here. Jesus is here with us in our daily walk, in our real life. Jesus is in our midst, inviting us to lay down our burdens and listen to him, talk with him, to feel our hearts burn with love and compassion and hope. It's here that we are nourished by the bread and the wine that is his very body and blood given for us, the very body and blood of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. It's here that we can open our eyes and our hearts and recognize him, the one who shares our pain, who says our name in love and compassion, who blesses us, who nourishes us. It's good news that Jesus is with us every step of our journey. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.